Welcome. This is Ryan Sokolowski again, Senior Program Manager with the ECG CAT team. And today we're going to do an end-to-end walkthrough of a Storage Spaces Direct hyper-converged deployment, this time on top of NanoServer. So let's get small. Okay, so the first thing that we're going to take a look at is I've actually gone ahead and created three of the four NanoServer images for my NanoServer hosts. So I'm going to go ahead and just execute this one line here, and then we'll go ahead and take a look at what the script is and what's going on in the background. So the first thing is a prompt for the administrator password. So I enter that, and now the NanoServer image is being generated. So let's take a look at the script. This is a pretty simple script where I'm just changing my directory and importing the NanoServer image generator modules, and then using some variables for the names of my NanoServer hosts. And then each line calls new NanoServer image with a number of different parameters: the media path, the base path, target path for where to put the image and what to call it, the computer name, again leveraging the variables, and then popping in the pieces that I want in the nano image: compute, storage, clustering. I'm joining these to my existing domain with the domain name parameter, calling OEM drivers. And I do have a particular folder that I'm using for my Mellanox ConnectX 3 Pro drivers, and those are being injected into the image. Enable remote management port, reuse domain node. There's the driver's path piece of that. And then packages, and I'm including the NanoServer DCB package, and then additionally a couple of the two System Center Virtual Machine Manager packages to be included for if and when I want to add these NanoServer hosts to VMM management. So we'll go ahead and take a look at the directories that are being leveraged here. So here under WS 2016 TP5 drivers is where I have, as I mentioned, the Mellanox ConnectX 3 Pro drivers for my network cards. And then under Nano Build, I have some scripts that are open in the ISE window, and we'll take a look at those. And then in Nano Build scripts, this is where I have the NanoServer image generator folder. And this comes directly out of the ISO or the source files for Windows Server. And in this case, I'm using a little bit pre TP5 interim build. And these are just the scripts that are part of that directory. Under my base, under Nano, is where NanoServer Physical is, and you can see here's the three previous NanoServer VHDX files that I've created, and this is the fourth one that's being created in the background here. So while this is finishing up, let's go ahead and configure our NanoServer number 3, and let me switch over to that window. I'll bring that up, and here's our running NanoServer image, and we'll just go ahead and I'll log in for those who have not seen NanoServer. We'll go ahead and log in, and this is basically the recovery console. This will tell you what your network IP addresses are, if they're DHCP and so on. So there's actually nothing that we're going to be configuring in here. So I'm going to escape out of this, and what we're going to do is we're going to PowerShell remote into that NanoServer Nano 03. So let me change this script. And let's actually go ahead and let's open a new ISE window. And we'll bring this over and run the script there. So let's paste in what we have here and change it again to 03. And we'll just run the entire script. And what this will do is open, as you can see in the command prompt here, we've opened a remote PowerShell session to NanoServer 03. Now let's bring over our script. So we will come back over here and let's open our script. What we're going to do next is configure all the networking for the NanoServer host. So we'll open Nano 03, and we already have run this portion. So we're in our remote PowerShell session. And let's just go ahead and highlight the remaining part of the script. We'll omit the exit. And let's go ahead and run this, and then we'll take a quick look at what we're executing in this script. So the first pieces are to configure network QoS policy, enable all of that, and let's scroll down. And then here we're creating our new VM switch. After we create that virtual machine switch, we're adding a couple of network adapters, and we're going to be using those for our SMB traffic. And then we're setting VLAN numbers on those as required for Rocky support. And then we'll disable and re-enable the network adapters to get that lit up on there. And then I just have a little piece in my script where I'm actually statically assigning IP addresses for each of those network cards. And then the script will finish. So let's go back and check. And there we see the notification that the network connection to our host has been interrupted, and that's because of the disabling and re-enabling. It's now come back, and we're all done. So we have our IP addresses set. So that's fantastic. Let's go ahead and exit there. And let's check on our NanoServer image. This is still being generated and created. So what we're going to do, I'm going to do a little time shifting in the video. I'll pause and we'll be right back. Okay, and our NanoServer image has been generated. So that was our fourth one. And we can see that image is right here. You can also see in the display here the size of the images is under 1 gig each. So what we're waiting for now is I just rebooted my NanoServer number 4, and I'm going to be booting back into the GUI operating system, and then we're going to log in. We're going to copy over this new NanoServer image, and we're going to take a look at how to configure this server to boot from VHDX to the Nano image. And this was running a little bit earlier build of the operating system. So let's go ahead and log in here. And as soon as our desktop comes up, let me adjust the video on the KVM system. So as soon as this comes up, we will go in and take a look at the root of the C drive. There's our previous image. So what we're going to do first is we're going to remove that boot entry, and we're going to use msconfig. This is the way I like to do it. We go to the boot tab, and this first option is the NanoServer boot. So I'm going to remove that and apply. And then in the background, I'm going to connect to my share, and I need to, from our management server, I need to move this over to our share. And we'll put it in Nano with the other three images. And we've already done this for the other three physical Nano server hosts. Okay, so it's been copied over. So now from within the KVM on our physical server, I'm going to copy this, come over to our C drive. I'm going to delete the previous version. So you wouldn't have to do this if you were doing it for your initial boot from VHDX Nano config. And I'll paste that in here. And as soon as that's done, I'm going to double-click this, which is the same as right-clicking and saying mount. So now it's our drive D. And from PowerShell, I will do bcd boot d windows. And it's as easy as that, folks, to configure your GUI host to boot from your new Nano image. So I'll close that, and then I will eject our mounted VHDX. And from here, I'm going to say OK, and it is now telling me, just because I removed that boot entry, that I need to restart my system. So I'm going to say restart. I'm going to pause the video so you don't have to sit through the reboot cycle. Okay, we're back, and we've just rebooted our physical server. And this first option is our Nano image. So I'm going to select that and let that finish booting up. In the meantime, I'm going to go back to our other ISE window here and get ready to configure Nano 04 with a similar script. So we'll open that, and as soon as our Nano server is up and running, we will do the same thing we did for Nano 03, which is to open a PowerShell remote session and do our configuration. So let's run this piece. And I'm not quite able to connect to the server yet, so we have a little bit of name resolution. Okay, I paused again there for a moment. I don't like to do that, but I've basically flushed the DNS resolver cache and am now pinging the Nano host. So let's try this piece again. We should be able to now connect to our Nano server, and there's our PowerShell remote session. And just like we did on Nano 03, we're going to go ahead and run these configuration pieces. And we'll kick that off. And this will just take a moment or two. There's the creation of our new vSwitch. And then we'll get our new adapters created, set the VLAN IDs on those, disable and re-enable, and so on. So while that's happening, let me switch back over to our other ISE window, and we'll get ready. The next piece is we're going to dive right into our Spaces Direct configuration, and we're going to run test cluster, including Storage Spaces Direct, and then we'll go ahead and proceed with creating the cluster, and then a couple of commands that I like to use where I'm renaming cluster networks based on IP addressing and their roles. And then we're going to enable cluster storage spaces direct and so on. So let's check on our script. And we're still processing this. So we've lost our network connection as expected with the disable netadapter command. And this should come right back in a moment. And then the script will complete, set the IP addresses, and then we'll exit this particular PowerShell remote session. And there we go. So we're all done with that. Let's go ahead and exit as soon as the script thinks that it's done running. There we go. So we'll exit that session. Okay, fantastic. So what we have now is we have all four Nano servers, all physical hosts running, boot from VXD, VHDX configuration, excuse me, for their Nano server images. So let's go ahead and run the test cluster. So test cluster has been initiated and is currently running. It's reaching out and connecting to all four nodes. The note here is that this particular management system that I'm running this command from has the remote server management tools installed on it to give the failover clustering and Hyper-V roles support remotely against those Nano server systems. So we'll let this run. I'll pause the video for a moment and come right back when this finishes. Okay, our test cluster has completed, conditionally approved, and I've done this on these systems a number of times, so I don't need to go check the validation report, but I do recommend that you do look at that validation report after you do this. Let's go ahead and proceed with new cluster. So we're creating a new cluster called CCEP Nano S2D, and there's our new cluster. And then, as I mentioned earlier, these are just some commands that I like to use in my cluster scripts to configure the names of the networks and set their cluster roles. So I'm going to execute that, and that should all be set. In the meantime, let's actually open up Failover Cluster Manager and try to connect to that cluster and see if we can take a look at this. Is the new cluster now that we've just created. And if we look at networks, we can see the result of that little piece of code that I ran, renaming my networks, and then setting also the roles, whether or not they're doing cluster network communication, and if clients can use them, and so on. So back to our script. Let's enable cluster storage spaces direct. And it's asking us for confirmation. And it's going through enumerating all the physical disks, claiming those for storage spaces direct usage. And then the next piece, when this is completed, is we'll jump in and create a couple of storage tiers. And then what we're going to do is actually create volumes using new volume, leveraging both tiers. And what we're doing is we're doing multi-resilient tiers or multi-resilient volumes. So in the interest of time, I'll pause the video and I'll be right back. Okay, it just completed. So storage spaces direct is enabled in our cluster. A note, you've obviously noticed that I've paused the video a number of times during this session, just to save you a little bit of time. If you're curious as to how long some of these commands take, you can obviously reference the system clock in the lower right-hand corner of the video. So let's run this piece, which creates our storage tier definitions. And then let's run this first command to create a new volume for Nano 01 to use. Okay, so new volume is running, and you can see in the IZ window, we're creating the new virtual disk, and this will flash a few times, and then it will go ahead and create the volume, and we'll go over and take a look at that in Failover Cluster Manager. And there's our new volume creation. And we have success. So we've created our first volume for Nano 01 to use. Take a look at our cluster pool briefly. Here's our physical disks. And under virtual disks, we have our newly created volume of 1 terabyte, and it is healthy. So let's finish this up and run our next three commands, which are identical, just creating volumes for each of the other Nano cluster nodes. And each of those will be assigned directly to each of the nodes in the cluster. So we'll let this spin through. We can actually go over to Failover Cluster Manager and sort of keep an eye on what's happening. You can still see the ISE window in the background, and you can see the process happening automatically based off the script commands. And we're creating 2 terabyte volumes, again, one for each cluster node to use. And our last one is in available storage. It will be moved over to cluster shared volume, and we're all set. Okay, well, thanks for joining me again today. That's the end of our end-to-end walkthrough of deploying a hyperconverged Storage Spaces Direct cluster using Nano Server as the management operating system on those nodes. Thanks.